All right, here we go. It is Monday, the 14th of July. We're at about the halfway point of summer. For my family, it is the countdown to empty nesterness. That is coming our way in a couple of weeks. My goodness, crazy to think about for sure. Started my day in beautiful Lake Elmo. A texter reached out about a story I told in the 3 o'clock hour, which you can check if you should be listening to the podcast. We upload every segment of our show wherever you get podcasts, but you also can rewind while you're watching if you're on the YouTube at youtube.com/WCCO Radio. You can see what we look like, and we do the whole show here. I had said that I took 694 to Prior Lake, which is a absolutely moronic way to go to Prior Lake. I was going to Lake Elmo. I don't know where the fancy golf courses are, you know what I mean? Royal Golf Club, la-ti-da. It was beautiful. And if I were golfing, I would be tearing that beautiful turf to shreds with divot after divot. One of the markers for me of summer that is no longer, because my soccer-playing kid is about to flee the nest, but there are thousands of soccer players who dealt with some smoke and heat this weekend. They're going to be dealing with it all week, too. It's our first story in the D-Rush Hour News Headlines, The Lead.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the D-Rush Hour Headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight with.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin with The Lead.
And we start with the Target USA Cup, which is going on at the National Sports Center in Blaine. My friend Sarah Soli, who runs the marketing and communications for the National Sports Center, is with us at the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Sarah, how did this weekend go, your first round of games? And it was smoky and it was hot.
Yeah, despite the weather, it was a fantastic event. We had a lot of teams here, and we crowned champions, so that's what it's all about. But yeah, we did deal with a little air quality.
Yeah, the air quality was rougher on Saturday, I imagine, than Sunday, right? Just from my own experience walking outside, Saturday seemed the bigger challenge.
Yeah, definitely earlier in the day Saturday, it was pretty thick. We did shorten games, though, and added water breaks on each half.
So today is a break. You get back going for the week-long tournament. When do the kids start? Or is today a break?
Technically, yes, but we have teams checking in right now as we're talking. So teams have been flying in all day from across the world.
How many teams do you have this year?
This year, we're just shy of 1,200 teams. It's our largest tournament yet.
That's crazy. What a story, Sarah, because the USA Cup had, you know, because of COVID and less travel and all of that, it had sort of dipped. What do you account the crazy response this year to?
I mean, I do think it helps that the travel, you know, barriers have lifted for the most part. Additionally, I think we've really worked hard to do qualifiers in different markets. So we're hosting events in Brazil and Uruguay and Mexico, as well as other states across, you know, the U.S., which has really gotten us more brand presence in places we've never been before.
Sarah Soli with the National Sports Center Target USA Cup, the biggest, the biggest tournament in Minnesota for sure. This has got to be one of the biggest in America, I would think. It's huge.
We like to say it's the largest in the Western Hemisphere.
There you go. Wow. Who's going to fact check you? I mean, no, prove you wrong, I suppose, right? You have international teams. Any interesting stories this year? I know you have a couple of teams from Ukraine.
Yes. Additionally, we have our first team ever from Uruguay.
Uruguay, nice.
Yeah. We also have our first girls teams ever from both Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago.
Wow. Cool. Cool. Pretty fun. What will you do tomorrow? Heat advisory for tomorrow from noon to 8. Do you have gameplay scheduled tomorrow?
We do. We start games at 7 a.m. tomorrow. We do monitor, obviously, heat. And so most likely we'll go to shortened halves and mandatory water breaks if necessary. We run on a flag system, so It'll go from, you know, green to yellow and then to red. Is kind of where we really put in our caution plan.
Pretty cool. Biggest ever 2,400 soccer matches. So many teams. Good stuff. Sarah, have fun out there. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.
Sarah Soli with the USA Cup. Next on the lead, that smoke. You heard Sarah talking about it. But rest assured, our effort to deal with the Canadian smoke and the wildfires and what feels like is just part of what summer is going to be like in America, in Minnesota. I think it's all going to be solved. It's all going to be solved. And what tool do we have in our tools box to deal with this? We're sending a very tersely termed letter. That's right. Canada, you're on notice thanks to a letter from a couple of elected officials. The letter from Pete Stauber, from who all was in on this letter? We got your all the hits. You got your Stauber, Emmer, Fischbach, Glenn Grothman, Brad Finstad, Tom Tiffany. The Republicans are solving Canada's smoke with a letter. I feel good about that. I am sick of the Canadian wildfires. I do blame the way Canada handles their forests. They sort of let fires burn. It's what happens in nature, and they let that happen. And the U.S. Congress would like that to stop. Now, there may be a couple of reasons why we have more wildfires happening now than we did, you know, 5, 10, 20 years ago. It may have something to do with the fact that our planet is warming. Huh. I'm looking at the letter. I don't see any note on that. As Jonathan says on Facebook, Canada needs to build the wall so high that they keep the smoke in. I think if you send our, send that tip to our U.S. Congress people, maybe they'll send a letter to Canada and suggest they build that wall a little bit higher. I don't know what we do about this, but it is Canada. the arrogance. Canada already hates America so much right now, and now we have a bunch of congressmen from Minnesota saying we're sick of your smoke, and we think we have a better handle on how you should manage your forest. Pretty funny. All right, next up. Concern about honeybees and one of the largest die-offs in recent history. Minnesota has honeybee colonies, and they are threatened. Star Tribune writing about this today, and it's a massive die-off. The quote from one of these beekeepers is calling it a sickening sight when they go and look in their beehives and they see no bees, not just dead bees, but like nobody in there. Dr. Becky Masterman is from the University of Minnesota Extension. She is a beekeeper herself. She hosts a podcast on bees. And she joins us now in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. How worried are we? How bad is this, Becky?
I am concerned about the honeybee die-off, but I have been continuously concerned about this die-off since it started in 2008.
What's going on out there?
So since 2008, and not that this year isn't concerning, but since 2008, we've seen losses above the expected 15 to 20%. So it's extremely concerning this year because commercial beekeepers are experiencing unusually higher losses than usual, and they are the ones whose livelihoods depend upon keeping their bees alive, and so they're really good at keeping their bees alive. Mm. So if they're dying despite their efforts, then we have another problem or problem,
yeah.
Number of problems facing us.
That makes sense. Becky Masterman is with us talking about bees and a honeybee buy-off that die-off rather that got covered in the Star Tribune today. Is there a bigger, other, wider concern that we should be worried about?
I think that there are some pretty solid honeybee data that should be of concern, and that's more of in the honey production realm, where our habitat has changed so much that if you were talking to me in 1988, I might be talking about 18 million pounds of honey production. And last year we were at about 6.8 million pounds. And it's not just the volume, but it's the amount per colony. And to get to the quick answer, we're also really worried about the pesticides that the bees are encountering. And that's where people should have an overlapping concern.
Most of my listeners are not that worried about how are the 100 commercial beekeepers doing. But speaking for myself, whenever I read about something bad going on with bees, that always it reminds me a little bit of a canary in a coal mine situation where you say, like, all right, this could be a bigger concern for all the rest of everything else we have growing here in this state.
Well, it's not just that. We do need to be concerned about the beekeepers, the commercial beekeepers, as well as the backyard beekeepers, because we need to make sure that everybody has the right tools to keep their bees healthy. And some of those are managing a really serious mite pest that vectors viruses, which is a serious issue. But it's also that environmental part where our bees fly up to 3 or more miles to get food, and they really do tell us what's happening in the environment. And if over time they're able to collect less diverse food, that means that the food that we're going to be eating is going to be more expensive, because it takes more for us to keep our bees healthy.
Really good information. I appreciate it so much. Becky Masterman from the University of Minnesota. Becky, thank you.
You are very welcome.
That is the lead. Next, we turn to page 2, a glimpse inside the mystery of why you can order something at Amazon today and get it tomorrow. A Wisconsin woman is at Regents Hospital. She was attacked by a bear, and Revival Fried Chicken coming back. We'll talk about it next. D Rush Hour news headlines. We do it every day at 5 o'clock. You can find it on podcast. If you go to the Odyssey app, just search to Russia. You could do it at Spotify and at Apple Podcasts as well. We begin with a glimpse inside the mystery of why you can order something at Amazon today and get it tomorrow.
In this video, I'm going to show you how to get next day delivery on Amazon.
Star Tribune's Evan Ramstad, friend of the show, who was on our show just last week, took a tour inside Amazon's huge fulfillment center in Shakopee. And it was fascinating. Anybody can go online and book a tour, which sure would seem, I don't know, I would love that. I don't know. He talked about how during Prime Week last week, orders soared. And so he goes to Shakopee to take a look. They have twice daily tour groups of 10 people. You sign up at AmazonTours.com. And he says you'll be amazed. So a couple factoids in here that I did not know. One, when stuff comes in, so like say Dan is selling plaid shirts on Amazon. When the shirts show up, one of the team members takes the shirt and just puts it in a random kind of pod. And so all the stuff comes in random order. And instead of putting all the books together, all the medicine together, all the electronics together, they just randomly put the stuff in at random. And they have found that because orders are random, it is not quicker or more advantageous for them to have any sort of organization. The way it's organized is that a camera watches the worker, notes where what cubby they put the thing in, and then when you order, a robot just goes in, finds that cubby, and pulls the thing out. I don't know. That was surprising to me. The other thing I didn't know is when your box is being packed, no one knows who is receiving the box. The workers pack it. They put a barcode on the box. Then the box goes about another minute down the assembly line. And another robot puts the address label on it. So no one knows who is getting what. Kind of interesting. A Wisconsin woman right now is at Regions Hospital after she was attacked by a bear. Not great. It's not great. Not great. This happened in Barron County, not too far from here. A 69-year-old woman sustained severe injuries. They're still searching for the bear. So this woman who was so badly hurt that she, you know, got taken to a local hospital and then taken here to the Twin Cities, was able to call 911. When officers showed up, they found a cub, a bear cub, in a tree. So you're like, oh, we got a bear. We got a mama protecting the baby. But where is the mama? We don't know. They've set bear traps. They will euthanize the bear because, you know, and that bear, honestly, once you get a taste of a Wisconsin.
All the cheese.
Yeah. Oh, that bear got a bite and is like, squeaky. It's just like a cheese curd. Hopefully this woman will be okay. We'll be okay. Orange juice and coffee could be getting more expensive.
No! God, please, no! 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 No!
Yeah. Yes. 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 New York Times writing on the droughts in Brazil and Vietnam, who are two of the biggest coffee exporters. That has resulted in higher prices already. But if President Donald Trump puts his 50% tariff on Brazil next month, well, then you got even bigger problems. At the end of May, 1 pound of roast coffee in the U.S., average price was $7.93. Last year, it was $5.99. So that's a pretty big jump. Now, putting a tariff on coffee, you're not going to suddenly start making coffee in America. Hawaii makes some coffee, but it's specialty, high-priced coffee. The weather conditions in the U.S. just are not such to make coffee make sense. Now, I also didn't know how much orange juice we get from Brazil. 90% of the orange juice we import, fresh, comes from Brazil. Interesting. Revival. Fried chicken is coming back.
And what does Daddy get for all his work? The big piece of chicken. That's all Daddy gets.
News broke in the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal this morning, J.D. Dugan, with the story that our friends, Gesture Concepts, are bringing back Revival. So Revival got very famous for their fried chicken, but they sort of abruptly closed all of their restaurants earlier this year. This also making news in the Star Tribune that chicken is delicious. So Jester, they're the people that own Rustica Bakery, Parlor, PS Steak. They sponsor Cardi Sharks. So they bought all the Revival recipes. They say they're looking for spots for three brick and mortar restaurants. They're going to fire up the food trucks for this summer. So the former owners, Nick and Thomas, will be consultants on the brand. So if they build brick and mortar, these guys will have a stake in it. But pretty cool. Jester bought Rustica in 2024. They bought Butcher and the Boar in 2021. And so part of their strategy, and Brent Frederick, their owner, is to grow so they can have more opportunities for the people who work there. So the bigger you are, the more opportunity you have to move up and have a career and have benefits and have a good gig. That is the D-Rush Hour News headlines. And now I want some dang fried chicken, tell you that much. Dave Schwartz joins us in just a minute. We'll talk about the All-Star Home Run Derby. We're hours away from Byron Buxton. Letting it rip. That when we come back.